And there's another name you guys mess up as well.
Hang on.
Yeah, try pronounce Fakhr.
Oh, no. Was it taken on the Triple M way? Warner into the offside.
Now,
so imagine my Aussie
vibe. Of course
vibe.
You're talking about Fakhr Zaman.
Yes, Aussie, yeah. Oh, very good.
Yes.
10 out of 10.
Thank you.
I'm not going.
Say it fast now.
Fakhr Zaman.
So Shania came to Pakistan, and my son's friend's name was Fakhr. And he brought his friend, about 12 years old, and he said, "This is my friend Fakhr." He said, "Hang on a minute." What? Because Australian can't pronounce K in their language. There's no K. It took her about 2 years to pronounce his name.
I'll tell you who's got it wrong a few times. Now, I mean, Junior Ward
Mark Ward
really struggled.
No idea.
He had some real battles.
Man, it's on 49.
Yeah, I saw that clip of him.
Oh, yeah. No. Junior had no clue. I think we might have that audio, Fergus. Mark War and how he went about pronouncing that name. Let's have a listen.
We saw Fakhr Zaman. What's his name?
Oh, no. I knew I'd heard it somewhere.
Come on, June.
I knew I'd heard it somewhere.
Where are we at? Seriously.
Marsh at third, Green in the gully, point, mid off, mid on. Straightish mid wicket to fine leg. He's beaten by a good length of Liverpool Cummins. That caused a bit of friction with your brother, didn't it, when Shane was dropped from the team?
Yeah. It was a brave decision, obviously, to drop Shane, because, yeah, you know how great Shane was, but I think at the right time was fair enough.
Was it Colin Miller came in the team?
Well, Miller and McGill, wasn't it?
And McGill and Shane played in the previous test. But then you got someone called Adam Dale.
Oh, Chippen.
Yeah.
He playing that test, did he?
Yeah.
He needs a green top to be at his best. Chippen.
Yeah. Brathwaite defends off the back foot, calls a quick single. Marner still on the move in the field. He provides some vibrancy. Can't stop the single. 1 for 60.
I reckon by the tone of that comment, you gave him a bit of tap.
You were there.
Adam. He was actually a really good bowler in the right conditions, but Antigua was not the right conditions.
50 partnership is up off 66 deliveries. You were there.
I was, but I can't remember his figures. But yeah, he was a very good bowler here, Gabba, Adam Dale.
Heath will have a look into that test match. What do you got, Heath, baby?
Don't have the wet bulb figure, sadly, but feels like 37.9 degrees here in Brisbane. Brian Lara's career strike rate via Adam Dale in tests, 146.
Oi!
And how many times you play him?
Twice.
146.
In a test match? Wow. Okay.
Stick to the Gabba.
Yeah. Exactly. The poor bugger, they picked him to test match in Bangalore as well, Adam Dale.
He could swing it both ways, seam it both ways.
He actually had a good bouncer.
Skillful operator.
At the Gabba, not in Antigua. But he stood the seam up nicely. Obviously straight onto the middle of your bat.
He's not listening at the moment.
Full and tries to clip it down the leg side, doesn't make contact through to the keeper. So I've got to report back, as we do on Triple M, to the group.
Yep.
Last night went out for dinner, came back. Lisa, my wife, was with me. We went to the bar at our hotel, and I saw the same two gentlemen at the bar that I saw when we left for dinner. Mm. Came back 3.5 hours later and they were still there.
Yep.
I Botham and M Hughes.
There's a shot.
I was about to name those two.
Yep.
Hamza bowling. Khawaja defending offside, no run. So they said, "Would you like something?" I said, "Yeah, I'll have a glass of wine. That'd be great." Lisa had the same. And then it came to settle the bill.
Ooh.
And I was interested at that point to see, because they'd obviously settled in for a while. So how are we going to do this? M Hughes, give it to me. I'm paying. Huh. I said to Beefy, "You have just seen Jesus walk on the water." This is the first Victorian cricketer in history to buy anyone else a cricket.
Yeah, it's a fair call.
Hamza bowling to Khawaja, and he lets that go through.
I thought after you'd had the one glass of wine, they just like, "Oh, well, thirds?"
No, to his eternal credit, the big boy said, "Give it to me, pick the tab up." And I said, Beefy, you have got no... I know you played for Queensland for a year, but you haven't had the exposure to Victorian cricketers that we've all had. They are notoriously the tightest people on the planet.
Well, he's had 40 years to save up, hasn't he, for that first shout, Merv?
Did you get a glimpse of the total?
I don't know what the damage was,
right,
but I appreciated it, and I was privileged to witness it. Warner defending on the offside, no run.
Coming back to those two gentlemen you spoke about, and it was no great surprise, it was both them and Merv Hughes at the bar. I picked them up this morning. I had a guy pick me up this morning from home, and we came by the hotel and picked them up on the way through.
Yep.
They told me they'd had a couple of sherbets in the bar.
Mm.
And I said, well, what happened to dinner? How'd that go?
Yeah.
I said, no dinner.
Peanuts.
No dinner. Yeah, that's it. I said the peanuts. Yep. Can you imagine those two? I wonder how many bags of peanuts they went through for dinner for those two.
Has an alley around the wicket to Warner. No! Into the offside defending, no run.
Well, Merv was notorious for like going back to his room and then just tucking into a bit of room service. So maybe... Well,
when I did hear this, Bluey, because I asked the same question, I said, you two haven't moved since Lisa and I went out for dinner. You're still in the same spot. We've just come back. What have you had to eat? Some peanuts. I said, with all of the due respect to both of you, missing a meal wouldn't harm. I think you got enough in reserve to push through.
They weren't going to pass away overnight.
No, I don't reckon. Oh. No. Warner. I reckon there was a little inside edge. Half a shout. No real interest in it. None for six. Good boys. It was nice to see them both enjoying each other's company.
I made the mistake many years ago of rooming with Merv.
Oh, no.
In South Africa, which was straight after his last test match.
By choice?
No. Well, it wasn't my mistake. It was the tour hierarchy's mistake. Right. I was vice captain and therefore a selector on tour.
Oh, yes.
And we left Merv out of the Durban test match, which would have been his last test, but obviously the one before turned out to be
his. Yes, right.
Well, he got back the night before the test match and about 2 o'clock.
Yep.
Because he wasn't playing.
Yep.
And ordered two hamburgers and a couple of thick shakes.
Oh. Ali, a wide one. Warner lets it go through, no run.
Kept me awake for many hours. The next day, we lose the toss. South Africa put us in. M.A. Taylor, LBW, Farney de Villiers for one.
Oh,
the next first morning test match, I said to him, I came off, wasn't very happy that he kept me up last night. He said, I can't help it if you can't bat. No apology was forthcoming.
I can imagine him saying that too.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it. No, impossible to get it.
Just Merv Hughes, South Africa. Now, I've heard a story. I wasn't there, but he was apparently playing a tour game leading into one of the test matches, coming off a back injury.
Yes.
And he's bowling in his first over. He's bowled the ball, and then in his follow-through, he's pulled up, and he's hunched over.
Yep.
And everyone's sort of...
Orange Free State.
He's done his back in here.
Yep.
And Alan Border, I think, was playing that game.
No, AB made me captain because AB didn't play
you
that
were
game.
Captain.
Yeah, but told me to bowl him after lunch.
Raja off the pads, gets his first runs. Back to the square. And just one.
So you ran up to Merv.
Yeah.
Is that right?
We all gathered around him because that first ball after lunch and he'd had the huge plate of food. And AB had said to me, Tub, make sure you bowl him after lunch. See if he's right for the first test.
Yeah.
So when he bowled his first ball, he followed through a lot longer than he normally does and down the pitch, and we all started huddling around. But you can go on and tell the rest of the story. I will tell it because we all got around him, including Hansie Cronje, who was playing for Orange Free State. Everyone was a bit concerned about him. Well, he stood up and passed wind said, oh, that's better.
Mark. Come on.
Let one rip.
No problem. My goodness. Oh. Warner now facing. Wide ball, no run. Ah, yeah. Now, was that the same tour that he belted the Perspex with the bat after some abuse as he was...
Yes.
I reckon I would have.
Yes. Yeah, that was the first test at the Wanderers.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it was an eventful time for Merv.
Oh, yeah. It was. So we had that, and then we got beaten at the Wanderers, then we won at Cape Town, and then so we went to Durban. And that's where we left him out because he was a bit, the back wasn't great. So we left him out. And that turned out to be AB's last test.
Three slips in a gully. Bright sunshine at the moment. And that's tailing away. So we're going to finish on Merv.
I've got one more.
While
we're at the SCG Hotel.
We're playing out a draw. at the MCG. And Bluey knows especially how Merv and I got on a cricket field.
Yeah.
So I'd batted for about an hour against him, and he had thrown the kitchen sink at me verbally. All things that could never be said, even on Triple M, which is the most liberal of broadcasting stations. Mentioning the fact that I only had two stumps to aim at because they had the other one shoved up my, you know, all this sort of like it was just relentless as Khawaja lets that through. I knew it was the last over of the day, and I was facing, and Merv came running in, and I knew that I'd be facing the last ball, and I knew that ball would be a bouncer. So in he comes, and predictably it was a bouncer. I duck underneath, the game's finished as a draw. I look up, and Merv's about a metre away from me through his run-up. And he looked at me, and I used to get that cross-eyed sort of look, and he goes, I hate you. That's all he had left.
That's one of the four-letter words you get to use. That he uses. Yeah.
So we walk off as Hams is in again and Khawaja lets that go. As absolute luck would have it, our first game of the next year was Victoria at the MCG. So I'm batting three and whoever we had opening got out. So I walk out and the first ball I face for the season is Merv. And it's proper deja vu. So I'm middle of the leg. I look up. He's in exactly the same spot as I left him last year. He comes charging in. I knew what was going to be, of course. So it's a bouncer. I go underneath and I look up. He's the same distance away. He looks at me with that same stupid head and goes, I still hate you. 6 months, he hadn't forgotten it. But I love that man. You cannot not love him. Khawaja struck high on the pad, half an appeal, none for 12.
He's exactly right. He's one of those lovable fellas. You say, give it to you on the field, but always good for a laugh, Merv.
No, great.
Love, play the game very seriously.
Yep. And hard.
Played it hard, but afterwards always good. I do remember him batting here at playing for Victoria against New South Wales, and he's facing Greg Matthews. Yes. He was batting with Simon O'Donnell, who was the captain of Victoria at the time, and Greg, as he often did in those days, was spinning it square. And Simon was going all right and said to Merv, just nestle down and try and bat with me here if you can.
And to Khawaja. Defending offside, no run.
So about third or fourth ball, Merv must have blocked it, one or two, and then about third ball, Greg threw it up wide of off stump. Merv, as he always did, put the foot down the middle of pitch, played the big cow corner slog, and holed out to a man on the fence. We had one guy deep at sort of the cow corner towards the old hill. Did not have to move a step, straight down his throat for a duck. So you could see the big Scoob O'Donnell. He was ropeable. Apparently, and the story goes that when he got off the ground, he goes up to Merv and says, what were you thinking? And he said, well, you never got a good one early.
Oh, come on.
Have you heard the story about when we were playing the same game, MCG, Merv Hughes, so South Australia, Victoria, another Merv story. And I made 268, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I'd been, before I got to 50, Damien Fleming hit me in the head and I was wearing a helmet with no face, no visor, just the little ear. Anyway, it's hit me in the left ear and like perforated my eardrum. I reckon I was probably concussed.
Khawaja off his pads from single down, a long leg, none for eight.
Anyway, got going again, got to 50, and I'm like, right, bat up to the crowd that was not many there, but mainly to the teammates. Merv walks past and goes, what are you doing? I said, well, just got 50. He goes, I've now played about 200 first class games, and that's the worst 50 I've ever seen in my life. And the same thing, got to 100. That is the worst 100 I've ever seen. And then it kept going. 150, 200.
Around the wicket to Warner and no contact down the leg side.
And I was the last out, 268. And there he is at the gate. That is the worst 268 I've ever seen.
He's consistent at
least. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just kept going with it.
He wouldn't last too many games, modern era. He'd be suspended. Permanently suspended.
No, he was always offering advice, wasn't he, Merv, on how to play and
how to behave,
how to go about it,
I said to him, he's got to go all Ric Flair on us. After he does it, he's got to give it some
woo!
Oh, no.
Here he goes.
Oh!
All right, that'll do.
Oh,
Have a look at me about it. Just
he's
given.
He's gone, Ric Flair. Perfect.
He's gone, Ric Flair.
Perfect.
Shaking hands.
That's what we wanted.
He's done it.
Door stop him here.
I was pretty keen on getting the Ric Flair at the end. So,
ever had to feel down at Bay 13, Moss?
Yeah, I did actually. It's a very funny story, but unfortunately, I can't say it on radio. Can I though?
Yeah.
Wow.
Anything.
The word starts with W. So, in 89, when I've got my 6 or 5 wickets, I won't say the word, you guys can guess.
Does it rhyme with banker?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, at Bay 13, I've got Pfeiffer or something. They were calling me that Wazim is...
A banker.
Yeah, Wazim is a banker. Wazim is a banker. And I thought...
7 for 228, outside edge, and that'll be 4. Gary drops the hands and... It safely rolls to the boundary.
And I thought they were praising me because at the time I couldn't get hold of the Aussie accent. It was early days in Australia. And I was very, you know, happy and waving them and everything. And then Imran came up to me, my captain. He said, you know, what are they saying? I said, they, you know, you're a good player. He said, no. They're saying you're a banker in Urdu. Explain it to me what it meant. I just said, hang on a minute.
Sometimes it's a term of endearment from the Bay 13 crowd.
Is it though?
Wow.
Well,
not always.
If you're playing well against Australia and they are chanting that, I don't think so.
No. Certainly doesn't apply to the English team.
Exactly.
They're all bankers.
And once a banker, apparently always a banker. Yeah.
He was fast when he played. He played for the Brisbane Heat, obviously, Kemo. Had him at Christmas Day at our place. And he played for the Brisbane Heat. That was an experience in itself.
Yes.
I said, what do you like to drink? He said, just a bottle of XO Hennessy. I said, okay. A bottle of Coke. He said, no, just straight Coke. Okay, no problems. Had a beautiful day. He left. He finished the bottle.
No way.
Yeah, fantastic.
Stark bowling to Brathwaite. Love to
drink. Kemo.
A whole bottle.
Yeah, went home. No problems.
Yeah, see, Beacon Trade, bottle of XO Hennessy contains 22 standard drinks. God.
It was comfortable for him.
I would bet.
He sat down playing, what's the game that, the COD, Call of Duty. Yeah, he was playing that with my son all day. He had a great day. One of the all-time greats, Kemo Roach, I love him.
Craziest stat of the summer, Ethan Meldrum.
Travis Head's last 3 deliveries at the Gabba in Test cricket. Caught down the leg side, caught down the leg side. Caught down the leg side. Hopefully it's not 4 in a row.
In 3 balls.
3 balls.
The very idea that it's 3 times in a row is crazy enough. But of 3 consecutive balls?
It's extraordinary. Never heard of anything like that.
Never.
You want to call it, Brian?
Oh, here we go.
Come on, Brian.
Do it, Brian.
I see Shamar Joseph comes around the wicket. Three slips in the gully, but might be looking to get him out down the leg side. Let's see. Bowl him! He's bowled! What a delivery! That's the end of Head. And Joseph busted to a knot as Broadwest, and he's right back into this battle. Beautiful. We've got a game on our hands, Dan. We've got a game on our hands.
I'm not pissing in your pocket. That was bloody good commentary.
Yes, it was.
That
yes,
was bloody
was.
Good commentary.
Absolutely outstanding. Full Yorker around the wicket. Angled in at the stumps. Landing just past the crease. Outstanding Yorker. 4 wickets in 4 balls at the Gabba.
A golden pair. What is that called?
King pair.
A king pair. Oh, Trav. Test match on. Brian, that was bloody outstanding.
Yes.
I'm not sure when he was doing that ground announcing, BJ, what he did call the trophy. Let's have a listen.
And the check and the trophy for the Sewank Oral Trophy.
Oh! Beat!
It's the wait. It's the pause for me.
Oh, no. Actual.
That's so nice, guys.
Oh, no. Oh. 1 for 110 for Discovery Parks, Triple M Rocks Cricket. No, he didn't say that, Virgie. Couldn't have, surely.
Just got to compose.
I had dinner with him night before the test.
Oh, it's a proper one,
he's
sir.
Too good a bloke to be dropping that sort of stuff out.
And the check and the trophy for the Sir Wank.
Not
Oral trophy.
Not again.
Not again.
Round the wicket. Up here's Jamal. Bowling to Warner.
Naughty.
And he hits straight to cover. He'll be, oh no, I think he's actually on holiday with his family now, but he'll be giving it the, come on you blokes, that's enough. That's enough of that, you blokes. One of the great men.
But when you look at the footage on YouTube, it's the eyebrow raise after the first word drops out.
Yep. I've got to check it out after this stint. I've got to check it out in YouTube.
It's hilarious.
Do yourself
properly
a favor.
Hilarious.
That's so good.
Around the wicket, Jamal bowling to Warner on 54. 20 needed for Australia to sweep this series. Aiming a big heave over the top. He just chunks it through mid-wicket for a couple. He moves to 56, 18 needed. And the problem, Fergus, is for those of us that present on television, now when we've got to say that trophy, you've got to say it very, very carefully.
Every time.
Sir Frank Worrell. You've got to almost talk it through.
Because I think when we've heard the name on TV or radio, we've actually probably heard it the wrong way more than we've heard it the right way.
It gets into your head.
Well, a lot of blokes are throwing bombs and then run away from the story.
I think I'm going to have to tell it because Finchie can't remember half of the story.
No,
I
don't know.
This is the version that I heard.
Okay, give us your version.
Okay, so Justin Langer woke up at 12:03.
Today?
No, the first night of the test match.
Right.
Or on the eve of the test match.
Okay.
So 12:03. And he had a sense of something going on that was a little bit peculiar in his bedroom, in his own
hotel
room.
Right, just hang on. Unfortunately, Greaves is getting in the way here. He's bowling to Khawaja, who hopefully defends. He does. Continue.
So he looks over to his right, and he sees another human being in his room.
What?
And he puts the light on, and there's Aaron Finch naked getting into his bed.
Oh, no!
And he says, what the hell are you doing? And he goes, and Finchie goes, well, what are you doing? I'm getting into my bed. He goes, mate, you're in my room.
So the Colac Flyer's got no kit on.
He's got no kit on.
Oh, my heavens.
And he's just going to sidle up next to Justin Langer.
Oh, Greaves. Greaves needs to pull a hamstring to stop bowling. And Khawaja pushes it down the ground. No run, 7-2-2-5.
So at this stage, I believe Finchie's sort of not really awake totally. So I'm not sure. I think he's sleepwalking or whatever. So Justin Langer then rings reception, and they said, I've got someone else in. So he ends up going down to reception.
Does he know the other person's Finchie?
I'm not sure. But anyway, he gave Finchie a towel. He said, mate, just cover yourself up for a start.
And he just hung it straight up on the towel rack, did he? Nicely driven by Khawaja. It's a glorious cover drive. He'll move to 69, 7-2-29. That's all right. Continue.
So Justin Langer's gone down to reception and said, look, there's something going on with my keys. I don't know what's going on. And they're like very apologetic. I don't know how this has happened. So they've gone, two of them have come back up with Justin Langer, knocked on the door. Finchie opens the door in the towel. And by this stage, were you sort of awake and sort of coherent at this stage? But no one can work out how Finchie got into Justin Langer.
We're going to need more than an over to get through the rest of this. Greaves to Khawaja. We need a couple of no balls as it's pushed through point for a single. 7-230.
But you're over the opposite side.
So I'm just staying across the hallway from JL.
Right.
I've obviously got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Walked out the front door accidentally.
Oh, lights off.
Lights off. Just walked out the front door, closed behind. And I do sleepwalk. I'll give you that.
Are you nude?
I had undies on.
So you're in the corridor in your Reg Grundies?
Yes.
With no key to get back in?
I can't remember going to...
But how did he get into Justin Langer's room?
Well, this is the next question.
Well, we worked out. By this time, it's half an hour after it's happened.
Greaves to Cummins. Yeah, nicely cut away again by the skipper. Is coming back for two. He moves to 38, 7-2-32.
And JL's door wasn't closed. So he'd gone to bed. Door hadn't closed properly, so I'm in my state that I'm in. I've taken a sleeping tablet and...
So you just wandered in?
Just wandered in. It was so embarrassing. And the worst part is when you wake up and you've got no idea, like you're just standing at the end of someone else's bed.
Does this happen to you often on tour, Finchie, or not?
It's happened a few times.
Wow.
No, sorry. I mean, I've woken up a few times in hallways.
Wow.
There you go.
Around the wicket comes Hazelwood to Shaquille. It's gone. The change pays immediate dividends for Australia. Healthy Edge taking its second slip. They can do no wrong.
Well, it's sad I wouldn't, personally, I wouldn't have changed it, so it wouldn't have happened.
Oh, little warm-up deliveries from Josh Hazelwood, and he just flashed at it, didn't he? And thick outside edge, easy as you like to Stephen Smith, and Australia, they are well on top now. 81 runs is the lead from Pakistan, but they've lost 5 wickets.
5 for 67, the wickets continue to fall for Discovery Parks. Triple M rocks cricket. Sajid Khan arrives at the crease. Tough time to be batting, Ian Botham and Greg Blewett.
Yeah, no one, they'll be sitting in that dressing room praying that clock goes round quickly. But it's great call by me, though, wasn't it? Not to bring him back.
So I wonder why, if this is Sajid Khan, is it? Why isn't Salman?
Yeah. Yeah, there's been a change in the order here. Two slips in a gully, short leg two. Oh. Khan has a fish outside off stump. What is he thinking?
Well, is he a night watchman? I mean, no, seriously, but they're five down. I don't really understand. And then if he is, he meant to come out and just block. He's played a back foot drive trying to hit Hoff through point, and it's just gone past the outside edge.
Yeah. Sure. He is night watchman. He's not doing very well.
He's kind of missed the brief if he's a night watchman, hasn't he? The Australian slips called, and they were laughing. Hazelwood in. Gone! Rattles through the stumps. This is incredible from the Aussies. Josh Hazelwood has 3 for 6 for 67. They are charging home on day three.
Oh, who are they going to send out now? Sajid Khan was sent out, try and blunt the Aussie attack, and Josh Hazelwood, he lasted 2 rocks. He's gone. 6 for 67.
Just watching the replay of it. And he's not only late on it, he's missed it by a distance. He's played outside the line, not inside the line.
So. Six for 67 for Discovery Parks. Triple M rocks cricket. This is scintillating stuff. The back end of day three. Test cricket at its very best. 6 for 67. Salman Aliaga at the crease. Hazelwood first ball, not far away from the diving right arm of Mitch Marsh at gully.
Oh. What's the umpire doing here? Oh, the bales were knocked off. But, yeah, Joshy Hazelwood back into the attack. 2 quick wickets. I can't work this out. So Salman's batting now. He normally bats at 7. And Sajid Khan was batting at 8 in the first innings. They swapped them over for some reason. It didn't work, did it?
Made 53 in the first innings, Salman. Batted really well. This is a whole different examination that he's under right now. Edge, first slip, takes the catch. They are unstoppable. What a roar around the SCG. Josh Hazelwood has 4 for 9. Unbelievable.
Oh, the Aussies are going crazy out there. They're running around, high fives, they're all hugging each other. They are up and about. They have turned this game on its head. Josh Hazelwood, brilliant.
Just look at the crowd. The crowd, they're bouncing, magnificent, great atmosphere.
7 for 67 for Discovery Parks. Triple M rocks cricket.
Big edging, and it's taken. He's taken a wicket with his first ball, and then he's bugging off over to the east, and they're all having to chase him down. What a wicket. Steve Smith gone with his first ball.
You can't get off to a better start than that in Test match cricket. We all thought, he's really nervous. He's lost his run-up. But he's gone back, and with his very first delivery in Test match cricket, it's none other than Stephen Smith. What a scout. What a start to your career. Good catch taken as well. Unbelievable.
Fraser McGurk's first look at Ford. And he goes, long, 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 long.
the stands over wide mid on for a maximum.
I'm predicting with the wind, Bob Hawke stand.
Yep.
I think he'll just get a bit straight here, 40.
Cow corner.
And yep. He might just disappear. In now to Fraser McGurk. There we are. There we are. Straight into the Bob Hawke stand. Six more.
Great call, JB. Hit that out of screws.
Oh, he's gone the slower ball, though. Oh, bad option that.
Boards in to him. Again, same part of the ground.
Bigger.
Six more.
Oh.
Six more. Pumped. 20 rows back. Wide mid on. None for 58. Fraser McGurk to 32. This young man's making an almighty statement.
Hazelwood will have the next two deliveries with Australia needing nine and the Windies needing just the one wicket.
Nine. That's you and your big mouth.
4-4 and a tie.
Last night, Hazelwood need nine. He's not keen. Why didn't he just wait for two balls, hit two boundaries? 6-4.
Because then he'd still be too short.
6-4.
6-4. You don't want much. Guy's bowling 148 clicks, by the way.
Don't care. 6-4. He's 90. He's 91.
Hazelwood might get the runs here.
Shamar Joseph's going to be bowling to him around the wicket with four slips. Point mid-on, mid-off. Man under the lid on the leg side short. Hazelwood. Can he survive? Joseph into him now. Oh, he's knocked him over! He's knocked him over! It's all over. Shamar Joseph gets his seventh wicket. He's run round the ground. The Windies are chasing him. And the West Indies have won the Test match. The West Indies have won by 8 runs. Smith, 91 not out. The Hoff's been knocked over off stump. And the West Indies have one of their finest, most famous victories of all time.
Well, blow me down. That's unbelievable. Oh. They're actually off the ground now. They're just down from us. They're all running and going berserk. Well deserved. Unbelievable finish for a Test match. 7 for 68 off only 11.5 drop.
Oh, that's a great performance. Not by the whole side, but particularly Samar Joseph. 11.5 overs, 7 for 68, when really we came to the ground today and we didn't think he'd bowl at all. We thought his toe may well be broken. Fortunately, it wasn't. But it's got to be sore. He would have had a number of jabs. He's taken 7 wickets. And before he came on to bowl, Australia were cruising. They needed about 110 to win, 8 wickets in the shed. He removes Green, he removes Travis Head, back-to-back deliveries, and gave his side some belief and then finished it off with a cracker. Hits the stumps to remove Josh Hazelwood. A West Indies win, a famous Test match.
Absolutely wonderful Test match. Exactly what the Test arena needed, a Test match like this, humbled in Adelaide, and they've come back and won it. The pink ball Test match here at the Gabba.